Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Talk about big drama show. This has been a drama show. Golovkin throwing and throwing. Alvarez lands, power sacks in return. It's a Pier 6 brawl. Down the stretch they come.
Only great fighters can do this, ladies and gentlemen.
Only.
These are two middleweight greats.
Both fighters dead tired. Exhausted on their feet. 10 seconds to go. Uppercut for Golovkin. Who gets the last shot? Golovkin with a right hand. And it's over. Amazing fight.
Round 25, please.
Glenn Feldman scores this bout even. 114-114. Judge Dave Moretti and Steve Weisfeld have it 115-113. Your winner by majority decision and new WBC, WBO, IBO Ring Magazine middleweight champion of the world, Saul Canelo Alvarez.
So the judges prefer Canelo. And Triple G's heart is broken by the first defeat of his professional career.
Jim Lampley, Max Kellerman and Jozo Palroy Jones on the call in Las Vegas as Canelo Alvarez dethroned Gennady Golovkin on Saturday night to discuss that in further depth, and joined on the line by two-time world champion Paulie Malignaggi, and we're also joined by boxing journalist Declan Taylor, who was on the ground in Vegas on Saturday night. Paulie, I'll start with you first. Your thoughts initially when it was Canelo's hand that was raised at the end of that fight?
I thought it was a better fight. I thought Canelo did better in this fight than he did the first time around. Having said that, I think anybody with a reasonable brain wouldn't be able to give Canelo more than six rounds. I think the first time around, if you gave Golovkin a draw, which they did, you robbed them. I think this time around, if you gave Golovkin a draw, it could have been fair. A draw could have been fair, or Golovkin win. I don't think Canelo won enough rounds to win the fight. With no knockdowns, you have to win seven rounds to win the fight. You can't find me, logically, seven rounds Canelo won that fight. So I thought once again they robbed Gennady Golovkin.
Declan, that seems to be the prevailing wind on this one, is that, you know, if you were to score this one judiciously, you'd probably say that this one was probably the draw between the two fights that we've had thus far. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, Declan, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree entirely with Paulie that it was the better fight all round for the fans, but also for Canelo. But having said that, it's Golovkin for me was still the winner. But I don't think it was a scream up. I don't think it was a robbery, really. I mean, you can see the draw perhaps would have been the most favourable decision. And amazingly, if Weisfeld and Moretti have both scored that last round for Golovkin, which I did, and a lot of people have, it would have been 114-114 across the board, which would have been unbelievable. But improvement for Canelo. But for me, again, he hasn't won either fight, and Golovkin's lost twice. So it's a strange one, really, all round.
Declan, how do you see that one was favoured, the last round in particular, in favour of Canelo?
No, in favour of Golovkin.
No, but in favour of Golovkin. But how do you see that there was that disparity?
Well, I'm not sure. I thought Golovkin started the round much better. Almost as if he didn't want to leave any doubt in the judge's mind that he won the fight, and he certainly landed the cleaner shots early on in the round. I thought that was one of the clearer ones, but then I'm seeing as well that people whose opinions I value in terms of the scoring of fights have made Canelo the winner in that round. So, and when it comes down to those last 3 minutes for the whole fight, the whole situation in the middleweight division, then it obviously, there's a lot of gravity on that round. I'd be interested to see what Paulie thought of that last round in particular as well.
Paulie, we'll throw that one to you. That last round, how did you make it out?
I think the last round was close. I think I had it for Golovkin, but it was the round that made it 7-5 for me. And I could see it. I could easily see it. Not easily, but I could see how somebody would score for Canelo. Here's the problem with somebody scoring for Canelo. You're looking for any kind of explosion from Canelo, even if it lasts 20 seconds, and automatically you're giving them the round. That's how these people are judging these fights, you know, and that's how boxing judges judge fights where the money fighter is involved. where there's a big money fighter involved. They watch a fight, and they don't watch two combatants fight. They watch a fight looking for a reason, any reason, to give the money fighter the round. If they find even a half a reason to give the money fighter the round, they give them the round. And that's how. That's why these judges are such animals. You're dealing with complete animals here, because you can't beat that good of a fighter every second of every round. You know, you're automatically, if the guy's good and Canelo is a good fighter, you know, there's going to be moments he's going to have in rounds. But just because he has moments in rounds doesn't necessarily mean you have to give him the round, especially when he lost the rest of the round. Now, if I give Canelo the last round, it's a draw. If I give Golovkin the last round, I have a 7-5 for Golovkin. So again, I go back to what I said. You can't logically, if you're judging the criteria the same way every single round, if you're changing your criteria just to give Canelo a round, then you can find seven rounds to give Canelo. But if you're judging it and you're using the same exact criteria every single round that you will judge a fight for, you will not find seven rounds to give Canelo. It's impossible. If you change your criteria from one round to the next just for an excuse to give Canelo a round, then yeah, of course, you'll find seven rounds to give Canelo. But there's no other possible way you can come up with seven rounds for Canelo. They're just not there.
Declan, this is the problem that we have here, is that it's entirely subjective, and we're never going to get explanations from the judges as a result of these fights, at least not honest ones, as to why they came to the conclusions they did.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's a subjective sport. Obviously, it's not about goals being scored or, you know, tennis balls being hit over a net. It's two blokes having a fight. So how best do you decide who's won the fight? But as Paulie said there, you know, I particularly noticed it yesterday, where you hear a lot about the crowd influencing the judges, and a lot of Canelo's early work, even if it was hitting gloves or missing entirely, the crowd would go up. Golovkin might land a nice short left hook or a right hand, and there's silence, almost like a breath of worry from the Canelo fan. So his reaction to the work is completely different. Now, I don't care who you are, that's going to affect you in the way that you score the fight when you're sat there.
Well, Declan, you make a great point, and I want to actually bring out this point Declan was making. Declan makes a great point, and here's another reason why this is a great point. Because Golovkin throws power punches effortlessly. Okay, now we know they're power punches because he's effortlessly knocked guys out with them. So now when he's effortlessly throwing these shots, they don't look as big as they do when guys go down, but they're still big shots. Canelo, on the other hand, throws wider punches, and they're more explosive. He looks like he's actually trying to throw hard. Golovkin's power is so natural that he looks that he effortlessly throws his hands, and there's dynamite in them. Guys have been knocked out. We've seen all kinds of guys get knocked out with effortless punches thrown by Golovkin. So Golovkin's style in his arsenal, he throws punches effortlessly. Now, just because a guy's not going down doesn't mean that now you rate them less than the punches Canelo's throwing, just because Canelo looks like he's throwing, he's trying so hard to throw hard punches. There's still good shots being thrown by both guys, and Golovkin is still landing more of them and throwing more of them. So I see where Declan's coming from with this whole thing, and that's the problem with judges being influenced, because again, you're going to choose to be influenced by what you want to choose to be influenced by. If you're looking for a reason to give a certain person a round, you will find it. There's 3 minutes in a round. You will find the reason to give a guy a round. So therefore, you can never come down on these judges and say, "Oh, these people are animals." So I just do it myself. These people are animals because they went into every round Saturday looking for a reason to give Canelo a round, and two of them found seven rounds. They found the reason to give a round.
Well, Paulie, how do you set about rectifying a problem like that then?
You can't. You can't. It's impossible. You can't, because there's always a reason. There's always a reason where somebody can give you. It's subjective, so there's always a subjective reason somebody can give you, even if they're lying. And I think they're lying most of the time. But even if they're lying, there's always a subjective reason they're going to give you for the reason they gave the round to somebody, to a certain somebody, you know? So you can never say, "Oh no, you're lying. You didn't really give them the round for that reason." You know, it's your word against theirs. What are you going to say? So there's no definitive way of scoring a round. You know what I'm saying? There's kind of things you look for, but there's no definitive way. So somebody will always come up with a reason that they say that's the reason they gave the round to a guy, even if they're outright lying, you know? But you know, who are you to say if they're lying? You can't put them through that.
Declan, this only serves really to feed into the narrative that the hope coming out of this fight would be that we'd ultimately get a third rubber match between the two fighters down the line. And it looks like, even when you see the line of potential opponents set forward, especially for Alvarez from this point on, it seems like the most attractive fight for everybody concerned is going to be another Triple G Alvarez fight.
Well, you'd say that. It makes perfect logical sense from the outside looking in, but actually, when you think about it, Saul Canelo Alvarez has now done 24 rounds with one of the most fearsome punchers on the planet, and he hasn't really been hurt yet. he now has both the belt, the two, you know, belts that he was after. He's come out of that unscathed. He's an incredible draw, probably the only guy who's got a bigger profile than Anthony Joshua in the world. He can make a lot of money fighting anyone, just about. So it almost feels like, why does he need Golovkin in his life anymore? He's won that battle, really, even though people might not, a lot of people like me, for instance, think that he hasn't actually beaten Golovkin yet. On the record books, and based on what belts he has around his waist at the moment, he is the winner in that fight. Also, you've got to think, if you're Golden Boy, why would you go straight back to Golovkin? Why wouldn't you go and try and make some money somewhere else? Because he can make money against just about anyone. I completely agree. It's a division where, obviously, Golovkin is the main attractive fight. But how many times in history, and just in recent history, have we seen what is clearly the most attractive fight fall by the wayside, or for some reason take too long, and we miss it altogether? That's just what happened. But I've got a real concern that we won't see a third fight.
Paulie, what will leave a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths resultant of this win for Alvarez last Saturday would be that it seems as if his drugs ban has not really had any censure involved in it at all. Basically, he had an extra 6 months to prepare for this fight, a fight which he ultimately was to go on and win on points. He doesn't really seem to have suffered in any way, shape or form as a result of being caught with unusual levels of clenbuterol in the system.
Yeah, and mind you, clenbuterol is usually a drug that you mix with other drugs. So there may have been other drugs that he was using that, you know, he didn't get caught for, he didn't get busted for. So having said that, the months that he was banned for aren't typically enough to clear out completely from your system. Yeah, you'll test negative, but you're still getting benefits from those, you know. In the time he took to fight Canelo, he was probably still benefiting from the drugs he took just months ago. You're still going to get benefits from those drugs.
Well, we don't know. We can postulate all we want, but we don't actually know for fact that there was anything else there. We can just go on what he was basically fed for, which was clenbuterol.
No, but clenbuterol is a drug that you usually typically mix with other drugs. Clenbuterol is a weight loser, that you typically use. Of course, we don't know anything for a fact. That's the problem with today. You can't take outright cheaters and actually say they're outright cheaters anymore, because the system totally screws you from actually being able to call somebody out on these things. So you have to say it this way. We don't have proof. We don't have typically this and that. Of course, we understand that. But usually if somebody's cheating, they're cheating, you know. And he got caught with banned substances. And if you usually get caught with banned substances, you don't halfway do the banned substances. You do the banned substances all the way through. So that's the common sense. But you can't blame him in today's society, because you have to have the full proof. Regardless of the fact, I think it should leave a sour taste in people's mouths, but long term, people are going to forget about all this. This is why the cheaters benefit in the end, because you're going to forget about all this. Like 10, 15 years from now, people are going to remember the fact that he got banned for, that he got caught right before this fight with the performance enhancing drugs. No, they're just going to remember the results. They're not even going to remember the fact that these fights were controversial. You know, going back to what Declan was saying, I think this fight can happen again, I think. You know why I think this fight can happen again? Because Golovkin is getting older. And I don't think they're going to give it to him right away. I think, here's what I predict, because this is a business. Canelo's going to fight David Lemieux in May. That's an easy fight to make, right? Because Golden Boy has David Lemieux and Golden Boy has Canelo. So you make Canelo versus David Lemieux in May, and then you wait till next September to fight the Golovkin third fight. Now Golovkin is a full year older. He's 37. When you're in the second half of your 30s, you're getting older. You're not getting better. You know, so you know, it's only more advantageous to Canelo to beat Golovkin more decisively this time, as opposed to controversially, and that will kind of put the stamp on everything, you know. And what's Golovkin going to do? There's so much money on the table, he's going to take it. What else are you going to do? You can't turn that kind of money down, so he's going to take it. So, you know, the ball's in Canelo's court, and he's going to do what he wants to with it.
Yeah, the numbers are going to be frightening if it does does indeed come to pass for a third fight sometime next year. Paulie Malignaggi, thanks so much for speaking to us tonight, and Declan Taylor as well. Thank you for taking time out to speak to us. More from the lads, I'm sure, at some point in the future, I guess, when that third fight does happen. All this week, we're giving you the chance to win the prize of a lifetime. You could be part of the Croke Park Challenge on October 23rd for Self Help Africa. It's your chance to live the All-Ireland Day experience, including playing at Croke Park in a Cork versus Mayo match with sporting legends such as Henry Shefflin, Cullum Cooper, Aidan O'Shea and Dean Rock. We'll also be adding other players from the Doves panel, as well as members of the Irish rugby team. And we can also confirm that one Nathaniel Murphy, Ballyhaunas bruiser that he is, will be lining out in a skin-tight, yes sir, Mayo jersey. The prize includes not only the vision of Nathan Murphy being wrapped in a skin-tight jersey, but a pre-match meal in Leinster House. Police-escorted buses to Croke Park, no less. Full matchday kit, one that fits you, unlike Nathan's. The match itself on the hallowed turf of Croke Park. Post-game reception in the player lounge and a gala dinner and show in the Hogan Stand. To be in with a chance of winning, just tell us, what team does Stephen Cluxton play his club football for? If you think you know, get in touch with us. It's all thanks to Self Help Africa. For more details, go on to selfhelpafrica.org.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.